السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن: وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم. Trusting in Allah the Almighty, we start our second session on the topic of community and society from Quranic perspective. If you remember, we've been talking about the importance of community from Quranic outlook, and we ended up by bringing some examples from the Holy Quran and from the traditions of Ahlul Bayt, referring to the importance of community and social life in Islam. There are numerous examples of Quranic verses and traditions of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We can say countless examples that we can document this issue, the topic of community and social life in Islam. I would just like to bring two more examples. The importance of community in Islam. What is the definition of Muslim? Who is Muslim? Remember to say Muslim, not Muslim. Because, you know, in Arabic language, the word Muslim, if you pronounce it in the right way, you can say Muslim. Muslim means the one who is doing wrong, the one who is doing dhulm. So we prefer to say Muslim, not Muslim or Muslim. Usually native English speakers, they would like to say Muslim and Islam, but traditionally those who are Muslims, they call themselves as Muslim and Islam, not Islam and Muslim. Who is Muslim? Several definitions we can benefit from the literature of Islam. One of them is this: Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimun min yadihi wa lisanihi. A Muslim is the one from his hand and from his tongue are the Muslims, other members of the Islamic community feel free, are safe. If other members, if other Muslimun feel free from your hand, from your tongue, no danger, no harm reaches them from your hand and from your tongue, then you are allowed to call yourself as Muslim. Otherwise, you are not Muslim. You see, even the definition of Muslim is in relation to other members of the community. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimun min yadihi wa lisanihi. If you want to test yourself to be if you are Muslim or not, so see if other Muslimun, other members, if they are free from your hand and from your tongue, then you are Muslim. Likewise, we have in a tradition that, again, it's about neighborhood. I think it's from narrated from the Holy Prophet and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He has said that if you have three neighbors, وَكُلُّهُمْ رَاضُونَ عَنْكَ, and all of these three neighbors are pleased with you, happy with you, satisfied with you, فَلَكَ الْجَنَّةِ, then the heaven, Jannah, paradise, will be obligatory for you. So in relation to others, neighbors, other members of the community. In many, many of the du'as, supplications, like du'a in Nudba, du'a in Kumail, in many of the du'as which are recommended to be recited in the holy month of Ramadan, we are reciting totally social supplications, du'as, like what? Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur. Which du'a is this? The one which is recommended to be recited after the prayers of, daily prayers of month of Ramadan. Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur. O Allah, gladden, make happy the people of the graves. Kul, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur, all of them. Allahumma aghni kull faqir, O Allah, enrich every poor. Allahumma ashbi' kull ja'i', O Allah, ashbi' kull ja'i', satisfy every hunger. Allahumma aksu kull uryan, O Allah, clothe every unclothed one. Allahumma burudda kulla gharib, Allahumma fukka kulla asir, O Allah, return every traveler to his hometown. Allahumma farraj an kulla makroob, O Allah, relief every distressed people. Every, kul. Kul in Arabic means every. So we can bring many, many examples from Quran, from the du'as, from narrations, which are putting emphasis on the issue of community and social life and feeling responsibility to other people, not only Muslims, but other people. Now today I told you I'm going to speak about the terminology of Quran with respect to the words community and society. Before going to the Quran, I would like to give you a brief introduction about these two terms, community and society. Do you know there is a sociologist, is German sociologist, Ferdinand Tonis. Ferdinand Tonis, about maybe 160 years ago, I think, maybe more than 160, maybe 170 years ago, he used two terms. It was, the two terms were in German. They were Gemeinschaft and Gesellschaft. They were translated into English as community and society. Tonis said that society refers to a group of people who are living together with a specific boundaries. The boundary and border is very important in society. But the people who have different ideas, different religions, different feelings, different interests, different emotions, a diversity of people, but what's common? Nationality, geography, borders. That's why he meant, and all of the sociologists after he, they meant by society. And then he said that's Gesellschaft in German. Gemeinschaft or community is a group, according to Tonis again, refers to a group of people who are living very close to each other, not in terms of geography, but in terms of emotions, feelings, religion, beliefs, everything. So the relationship between the members of the community or Gemeinschaft is intimate, close, friendly. That's he meant by community. If we want to look for a word in Quran to have this meaning, the meaning of community or society, which word we can take out from Quran to have this meaning? Community or society? I have done this before, and I have sorted out and listed a list of words and terms here. For me, the word ummah is very close to the idea of community. It has some differences, but to the idea of community, because the idea of society, we can't bring documents from the Quran and from traditions supporting the idea of society. Why? Most of the ulama, the scholars in Islam, have said that we don't have real boundaries in Islam. Islam doesn't recognize any borders. The only thing in the community of Muslimin, of the believers in Islam, is that they are shared by some feelings, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, common religion, the same book, the same qibla. So some members of this community might be living in UK, some others might be living in some Islamic countries, some others in some American countries, anywhere. Let me do a comparison here. Last night, I remember I talked to you about some materialistic view toward community and society. I would like to explain it a bit more tonight. Sociologists like Tonis, like Durkheim, like Max Weber, all of them, they would say that religion comes out from society. This is the dominant perspective in sociology. They would say religion comes out, is one of the fruits, consequences of society. Actually, Durkheim has a very strong and strange statement. He says that all of the traits of God, all of the features of Allah, God, whatever the believers in God call that, all of the traits of God that the followers of all of the monotheistic religions ascribe and attribute to Allah, we can find all of them, that's the statement of Durkheim, that we can find all of them in society. Society has all of the traits and features that God has according to the followers of religions. They say that religion is basically cultural, social. Beyond society, beyond culture, there's no religion. People started living together socially, and then gradually, step by step, they believed in something and they called that, like, for example, according to him, Allah, religion, whatever. So religion is a fruit, is one of the consequences of social life. That's social perspective. But in religious perspective, society is one of the fruits of religion. Allah said, "Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha." We have created you from a pair of male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ. And we have made you into different tribes, groups, nations, races, languages. So this diversity is rooted in Allah, is rooted in religion. You see, here, social, from Islamic and from Quranic or from religious perspective in general, society is something religious, but in sociological perspective, religion is something cultural and social phenomenon. Completely opposing to each other. Completely opposing to each other. So that's why in Islam, we don't believe in border. No boundary. No border in Islam. Yes, we do have community, because the relationship between the members of the community, of the followers of religions in general, and the followers of the religion of Islam in particular, they have got intimate communications, connections with one another. And one of the features, one of the traits of community is having close relationship, intimate, friendly relationship with one another. We have the time with the term millat in the Quran, but it's not the translation of nation. The nation refers again to, according to social sciences, a group of people who are living within a specific territory, specific land, country. The people of one society as defined by sociology. That's the nation which is meant by social sciences. But when Quran says millat, it's different. Sometimes by millat, Quran means religion, way of life. Millat Ibrahim. Way of life, manner, religion. We have tribe, we have different things in the Quran, but the most important notion, concept that we can make the Islamic community around this notion, this concept, is the concept of Ummah. What we can translate Ummah into English? I didn't find any good translation for Ummah up to now. If you have a good translation, please. I don't have good translation for Ummah. That's why I'm telling the word Ummah itself. Ummah. No translation we can find. Why? Because before Islam, in the Western culture, we don't have Ummah with the same meaning that we have in Islam. In Islam, in the Arabian Peninsula, Saudi Arabia, that time, before the Prophet Muhammad in Islam, the word, please recite the salawat. The word Ummah was used by the ignorant Arabs, Al-Arab al-Jahili, al-Badwi, was used by the ignorant Arabs, but they were using Ummah referring to religion. When they said Ummah, they meant religion. Or religious life. Not religious life. A sect, a branch of religion. A denomination. That's why they meant by Ummah in Arabian Peninsula. At that time, the ignorant Arabs, they used to describe themselves with attributing themselves to small tribes. And the unity of the community was based on blood relationships, kinship. That's why at that time, ilm al-nasab was one of the, ilm al-nasab means the knowledge of kinship. That's why the knowledge of kinship and ilm al-nasab was one of the most famous knowledges within the Arab the Arabs of that time. They were proud of being attributed to, for example, to this qabila, to this qawm, to this tribe, to this small sect, to this small community. And they were mostly entangled in conflicts, in wars between these small denominations, not denominations, but small tribes, local tribes. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabail." We have made you into different tribes. So no any tribe has the priority, any advantage to other tribe, except by having taqwa. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The only criterion is taqwa, is piety, righteousness. Other than righteousness, there's no priority over one nation, one tribe. But they were proud of being attributed. For example, one of them would said, "I'm attributed to this tribe has got more social prestige." That was the norm of that time. But the Quran use this term, Ummah. It's a very huge change. The Quran wanted to say to people, instead of attributing yourself to small communities, small tribes, small groups, you have to have the sense of belonging to larger community. That's Ummah. The largest or the larger communities of Islam. That's Ummah. The sense and the feeling of belonging. The same trait we have in the notion of community, as Tonis mentioned. Tonis says, in the community, there's the idea of belonging to one another. The same thing the Arabs of that time had, but they were attributing themselves to small groups, local tribes. Quran said, no, Ummah. We have 64 times mentioned the word Ummah in the Holy Quran. 64 times. It's mentioned in different meanings, but the main idea of Ummah, which is, I can say, close to the idea of community in social sciences, the main idea of Ummah from Quranic terminology is a group of people living together who are shared by a religion. A group of people living together, not physically, who are shared by religion. Maybe some members are living in one country, some others in another country. That's not important. The most important thing is that they have shared belief. They have common emotions, feelings, values. These are the important criteria and indices. In the concept of Ummah from Quranic perspective, of course, this word is not mentioned in the Quran to refer to only Islamic Ummah. In Surah Zukhruf, chapter Zukhruf, verse number 22, we have this verse, بَلْ قَالُوا إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. They said, "Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummatin." We have found our ancestors ala ummatin. To believe to this religion. That's the meaning of religion. I told you one of the meanings of ummah is religion. Wa inna ala atharihim lamutad. And we are guided by following their religion. To refer to the ummahs and communities. So from now on, when I said ummah or community, by community I mean ummah. So, to refer to the communities of other communities other than Islam, I mean the Umams of Ahlul Kitab, like the Ummah of Jews, like the Ummah of Christian people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 3, Ala Imran, verse number 113 says, Laysu sawa'a, the people of the book, they are not the same. Min ahli al-kitab ummatun qa'imah. Of the people of the book, among the people of the book, is ummatun qa'imah, an upright ummah, upright community. You see here, Allah attributes ummah to Ahlul Kitab, to the Jews and the Christians. Min Ahlul Kitab ummatun qa'imah. That's why I told you that ummah is a group of people who believe in a religion, even Christianity, Judaism, any other religion. Let me discuss with you the characteristics which have been mentioned by the Quran to ummah. It's very interesting characteristics. The first one is every ummah, every community from Quranic perspective has its own imam and rasul, apostle, prophet. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولٍ. And for every ummah, we have appointed an apostle, a prophet. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولٍ. That's one of the unique characteristics of ummah in Islam. The community should be led by a leader. Inshallah, tomorrow night, I will be discussing about the issue, the concept of wilayah, which we can describe it as the community of Shias. In the community of Shia, in the Ummah, which is specialized for Shias, Allah says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the head, the leader of this community, the community of wilayah. وَلِكُلَّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولٌ. Every ummah should have a rasul, an apostle, a prophet, a leader, an imam. And the people and the followers of that ummah will be resurrected with their imam on the day of resurrection. يَوْمَ نَدْعُو كُلُّ إِمَامٍ يَوْمَ نَدْعُو كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. And the day of resurrection, we will call يَوْمَ نَدْعُو كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ, all people with their imam, with their leaders. That's the idea of imam and ummat. In Western culture, we have the idea of nation state. Society, the people of society, their nation. The leaders of the society, state. That's the idea of nation state. If you have done some political sciences, you would have known the idea of nation state in modern political sciences. In Islam, we can't support nation state. The idea of imam and ummah, instead of, for every ummah, for every community, even the largest community, even the global Islamic community, there is one imam, one apostle, one leader. وَلَكُلَّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولٌ. What's the point? What's the benefit of this rasul? In Surah, I think again, Ali Imran, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. And we have appointed فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ, in every ummah, community, رَسُولًا, an apostle. So what? أَنَا عَبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. So to tell them, to teach them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, and to tell them to be away, to stay away from ta'ud, from shaitan, from Satan. That's the That's the mission. That's the goal of Ummah. That's the goal of Islamic community. That's the goal of religious community in general. Islamic rulings, Islamic laws should be performed in Islamic community. An imam or leader or rasul is the medium, is wasata, is intercession between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and between followers. It's like a pyramid. On the top of the pyramid, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bottom of the pyramid, the followers. In the middle, the medium, is intercessor. Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because insan, human being, is Khalifatullah, is the vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is going to play the role of vicegerency, is going to complement, perform this role in the earth. So there should be a wasata, an intercessor, a medium between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and people. In Surah Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا. And for every community, religious community, what I mean by religious community is ummah. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ, and for every ummah, جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا. We have prescribed mansak, some rituals. And who's going to teach how these rituals, how these rites could be done and should be done? Imam. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ Imam. Rasul, the apostle, the imam. One of the features of Islamic Ummah, not Shi'i Ummah, Islamic Ummah according to Quran, is that we are described and defined as Ummatan Wasata. It's in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2. Verse should be verse number, I think it should be 146, if I'm not mistaken. No, it should be 124. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ رَبَّنَا وَاجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. When Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ismail, they were building the Kaaba, they prayed after they finished. This is what they prayed. This is what they said. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. O Allah, accept from us. رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ. O Allah, make us submissive to you. Muslim. Muslim is submissive. And Islam is submission to Allah. رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا, make us both, Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail, مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ, submissive to you. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً. Please listen carefully to this verse. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً. And from our offspring, from our progeny, make أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً, a submissive, a Muslim ummah. There's a division of opinion between the interpreters of the Quran with respect to what's the meaning of ummatan muslimah, and what ummah is ummatan muslimah. Because you know, the Prophet Muhammad did not say this ummatan muslimah. This is the statement of Prophet Ibrahim. What does Hadrat Ibrahim meant by ummatan muslimah? Praying that, oh Allah, please make among our generation, progeny, ummatan muslimah, a submissive Muslim ummah, Muslim community. The late Allama Tabatabai in Tafsir al-Mizan, he says, we can take out from different traditions that the meaning of Ummat Muslim or Ummat Muslim, a submissive Ummah, is أمة محمد. اللهم صل على
محمد وآل محمد.
Do you know why? If you go to the fathers and forefathers of a prophet, his forefathers and his ancestors, they go back to the children of Ismail. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا, Prophet Ibrahim said, from my children, make a Muslim ummah. And Prophet Muhammad is one of the children of Ismail, is one of the grandchildren of Prophet Ismail. There's one good tradition. Prophet Muhammad has said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two special names, and my ummah, the Prophet says, and my ummah has the same two names. The first name is Salam. One of the names of Allah is Salam. Peace. Of course, peace again is not good translation for Salam. Salam has got very deep meaning in Islamic glossary. Salam. And from the same root is Muslim. From the same root is Muslim. Another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Mu'min, a believer. And my ummah are believers, Mu'mineen. This is the tradition of the Holy Prophet. Another features of ummah, Islamic community in Islam. We have been described of Ummati Wasat, a middle Ummah. وَكَذَلِكَ, this is number 164 of chapter Baqarah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Allah says, we have made you Ummatan Wasatan, a balanced Ummah. A middle ummah, a medium ummah, a normal ummah. وَكَذَلَكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ النَّاسِ. So you may be bearer of witness to people, and the apostle might be bearer of witness over you. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. What does it mean to say أُمَّةً وَسَط, the medium, the moderate, the balanced ummah? We are balanced ummah. In terms of aqidah, in terms of belief, we are balanced. We don't believe in jabr, determinism, and we don't believe in tafwid, total free will. Imam Sadiq has said, بَلْ أَمْرٌ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ لَا جَبْرَ وَلَا تَفْوِيدٍ بَلْ أَمْرٌ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. No complete determinism and not complete free will, but there's something in between. Amrun bayna al-amrayn. This is Ummat Wasat. We are not like Jews and we are not like Christians. One of them is in that extreme and one is on the other side of the extremism. Ummatan wasatan. In terms of values and evaluating this world and hereafter, we are Ummati Wasat, we are balanced. From Islamic teachings, we can take out this lesson that it's not right to forget dunya and to detach completely yourself from this world and to think only about the hereafter and akhirah. It's wrong. The other side is wrong as well. To be heedless of the hereafter, to be heedless of the hereafter, and to think only about this world. Because hereafter, if you look at to this world deeply, with insight, with Quranic insight, hereafter is nothing except the other side of this world. the inner side, the inner reality of this world. Strange statement, yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is Quranic verse. Please recite the salawat. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ لَغَافِلُونَ. They know only some apparent features of this world. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. I would prefer to translate it word by word so we can extract this point. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They know ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Some apparent features, apparent aspects of this world. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ لَغَافِلُونَ. And they're heedless and they're forgetful with respect to the Akhirah. What does it want to say? It wants to say that Akhirah, the hereafter, if you look at it deeply, is nothing except the inner reality of this world. Akhirah is nothing except the inner reality of this world. Why? Because Allah says, وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They only know some superficial, apparent features of this world, aspects of this world. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ. When it opposes the apparent features, aspects of this world to Akhirah, it means that Akhirah is the inner reality of this world. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ لَغَافِرُونَ. Was reminded of a brilliant tradition from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. It's a very brilliant tradition. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib has said, اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا واعمل لآخرتك كأنك تموت غدا. اعمل لدنياك. So plan for your world, for this world, in such a way as if you're going to live forever. You're going to have an eternal life. This should be the plan. اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا. So you have to have a plan. واعمل لآخرتك كأنك تموت غدا. But at the same time, do not forget آخرت. Do not forget the hereafter. وَعْمَلْ لِآخِرَتِكَ. And perform and plan for your akhirah, for your hereafter. كَأَنَّكَ تَمُوتُ غَدًا. As if tomorrow you're going to die. That's the balance. That's Ummat Wasat. That's the moderate way that we have to arrange our life. I know it's very, very difficult to have both at the same time. Not forget Akhirah. That's why I told you last night, there's no isolation, monasticism in Islam. Inshallah, one other feature of ummah, of Islamic ummah, is al-amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. This has got a detailed discussion. Inshallah, let us talk about this discussion tomorrow. I wanted to talk about not Islamic ummah, the features of Islamic ummah, but I wanted to talk about the features of Shi'i ummah. Could we say that we have a local Shi'i ummah, global? No, thank you. Shi'i Ummah. But before going into the discussion of Shi'i Ummah, inshallah, we're going to talk about the Al-Amr Bil-Ma'ruf Wa-Nahi An-Al-Munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil, and its relation to Ummah. Because in several Quranic verses, it has been mentioned as one of the main traits and features of religious and Islamic community or Islamic Ummah. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه. في كل صحة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten in the reappearance of Al-Imam Al-Hujjah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us and to give us this tawfiq to be among the real followers and soldiers of Al-Imam Al-Hujjah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and the sins of our parents. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of all marhumin, especially the marhumin of their brothers and sisters here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put our last moment, our best moment. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.